You are listening to WHYY. I'm Cherry Gregg, and this is a Studio 2 Extra. Dr. Audrey Evans wasn't just a pioneer in pediatric oncology. She was a force of nature. As the first woman chief of oncology at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, Evans revolutionized the way we treat childhood cancer. She co-founded the first Ronald McDonald House and dedicated her life to caring for children and families. Audrey's Children brings her remarkable story to the screen. Writer and producer Julia Fisher Fardman explains why she decided to create this feature film.
I had the very unique privilege of growing up alongside Audrey Evans. She was a close family friend, and so I just was always around this hero. And it wasn't until I became an adult and started being a storyteller, that I had profiled Audrey on a series I did called Modern Hero, which profiled incredible women role models from all walks of life, including the likes of Michelle Obama. And Dr. Audrey Evans' video, which was just a 10-minute video about her life, took off on social media with 17 million views and hundreds of thousands of comments and shares of people who were alive because of Audrey, who became doctors, who stayed at a Ronald McDonald House. And it was so clear that her story had the ability to mobilize people around something positive and do something good.
And she was so humble.
So humble,
having done so much. So you got to know her. And she had a level of tenacity. And this is just me watching the film.
Thank
a level of tenacity, audaciousness, and commitment to the young people she served. What do you think made her so remarkable in being able to capture all those traits in one person?
I think she became that way because she was fiercely independent even as a child. She had tuberculosis when she was 12, and she was in hospital ward for a year, you know, really in quarantine. And she realized that she wanted to make things better, I think, for other children. And she just believed with every piece of her heart that her mission, her purpose was to make a difference in the lives of children, and she just wouldn't let anything or anyone stand in her way. And as a woman, you know, in the 60s and 70s, she came all the way from the UK to the US with no family, and that's because there were no jobs for women physicians in the UK. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to be a doctor. And at the time, people did not want to care for sick children, and Audrey's like, I got this. This is what I'm meant to do. And she took an opportunity and ran with it with all her heart, and she became one of the most revolutionary pediatric oncologists, I would say, ever.
And let's give a quick stat, because when Dr. Audie,
yes,
as she was called by the young children that she served, when she came to CHOP, at many times, only 10% of kids diagnosed with cancer at young ages were surviving. Could you give people a sense of just the work that she did and why it was so groundbreaking?
The work that Audrey did as an oncologist in the 60s, 70s, and beyond was so incredibly significant. She got herself the moniker, the mother of neuroblastoma, for her trailblazing work in the field. She created the first ever staging system for neuroblastoma, in which she literally figured out that not all cancer could be treated the same, and based on a number of factors, including location, tumor size, the age of the patient, if it spread, she figured out that she could then group these patients into staging and tailor treatment accordingly. And there was even a fifth stage called 4S, which is for spontaneous regression or special, where the tumor went away on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really important for Audrey too, because she knew that treatments could cause lasting long-term damage. And if you didn't have to treat the child, you shouldn't. Simultaneously, she did understand how significant chemotherapy could be. And at the time that she was the head of chemotherapy as well, it was not what it is today. Like, now it's commonplace that folks get chemotherapy, but at the time it was widely thought of as poison. You should stay far away from it. And not only did she understand that if used properly, it could really make a difference in these children's lives, but if you use it in combination, and if you combine different types of drugs, that you can then attack the cancer from all angles. And again, she wasn't the first person to ever do combination chemotherapy or do incredible clinical trials, but she was one of the first.
How did you even choose the moments to sort of tell that story? Because there was a lot that came before she was able to create that system.
When I was writing the story, it was really important to intersect her life in the hospital and her life starting the Ronald McDonald House Charities, because Audrey took a very total care approach. She didn't want to just care for the medical needs of the child. She wanted to care for their emotional needs, their family needs. It was very important to her that the families were tended to. She always said a sick child is a sick family. So I chose that moment in time because that was where I could collide those two worlds. When she was doing really uncharted territory in medicine, and she did it all on note cards at that. And also she saw families sleeping on hospital floors and cutting treatment short. And in order for her to do her job better in medicine, she needed them to physically be there. So it was all very cohesive and part of this ecosystem of Audrey's life and career.
Yeah. Take us back to the late 1960s. Mm-hmm. Audrey Evans is here. She's a single woman mm-hmm. in Philadelphia. And there were certain things that you were not allowed to do. And there was one scene that stood out to me when she tried to get a mortgage because she wanted to open what became the first Ronald McDonald House. There were roadblocks.
Yes, exactly. And that scene is, you know, fictionalized based on facts of the times. Like at that time, women could not get a line of credit without a male cosigner. That didn't come until 1974, to be exact. And so although Audrey didn't literally have that happen when she went to go buy the house, it was a slightly different story. I felt it was really important to show in a scene what she was up against in the world around her.
For a 5-year mortgage, it'll be 10% interest. First payment is due next quarter. When your husband gets here, we can finalize the paperwork.
Sadly, he's drowning at work. He's got a really important job in finance. I call him my money man. Everyone needs a money man, right?
Then I'll need a form of government identification and your marriage license.
Can't I just sign for him?
Afraid not. I need your paperwork or your husband.
And I think that that scene is really profound because as a woman trying to get things done, just like I think it takes you out of it for a second of what she was trying to do in the hospital, which alone was just unbelievable, and recognize that there was so much more at play that she had to overcome just to exist in the mm-hmm. world.
By the way, Natalie Dormer plays Audrey, and I have to admit I've been a fan of hers since her Game of Thrones days. What was it like working with her? And I read that she got a chance to meet Audrey. How do you think that impacted the film?
Natalie was a dream. She is brilliant and kind, and she approached this role with this same type of ferocity and passion that Audrey approached her career. And as you said, when Natalie met Audrey, it was actually at the end of Audrey's life. Audrey passed away 2 weeks into filming the movie. Wow. And so for Natalie, the way that she describes it is it felt like everything that Audrey did for so many children and being there for them at the end of their life, Natalie had that unique opportunity to do the same for Audrey and tell her, like, we got your story. Like, I will carry your legacy forward.
What is your favorite scene from the film?
My favorite scene, always the ones with the children, for sure. They really stand out to me. There's a rooftop scene where Audrey's talking to a child about heaven. I remember when I wrote it, I was crying in my apartment writing
I cried off of that one, too.
Oh, well, yeah. Thank you. And it's what you saw, which is basically Audrey talking to a child about what heaven is like. And it's a beautiful place where you meet your friends and family and loved ones. That's what Audrey would really say to children. You float up. You get to see your friends. You can take your bongo drums. And it's just like, what a beautiful way to see the world.
When I was your age, I didn't feel good either.
You cut your hair too?
No, dear. But I stayed in hospital for a really long time. Some of my friends floated up together too.
But I don't want to float up.
We all float up to heaven sometime.
But what if I get lost and my mommy can't find me?
Oh, sweetie, you don't need to worry about that. Your mommy will always, always be able to find you.
I think when Audrey was doing what she was doing, she had a very profound faith. She was very, very strong Episcopalian. God led much of what she did. I think when 90% of the children weren't surviving, you have to believe that. Like, you have to believe that if that it's like, if you're not succeeding here, that it's okay, they're succeeding there. And so what she said to children was so very genuine. And so anytime you see Audrey interact in this film with children, from walking down the hall with a rabbit in a cage to do a fake scan to take the fear away from a child, she really did that stuff. She would be notoriously having animals popping out of her sleeves, driving her bosses crazy because you weren't supposed to do that. And she would always just say, like, anything goes for kids with cancer. Like, let's just make their day better. That's why it's called Audrey's Children, by the way. If I may, something really cool has been happening that I wasn't expecting. We've shown the film in a bunch of theaters now to a bunch of different audiences. And every single time, unanimously, at least one or more people raise their hand at the end and say, I am one of Audrey's children. It gives me the chills. Like, every time it happens, I'm like, Julia, don't cry on stage. Don't cry on stage. And I always, like, because that is the impact this person has had, whether they are now physicians and they see themselves as her child, whether they literally were treated by her and are alive because of her, or they got to stay in a Ronald McDonald House. What a legacy.
It was such a great story. And I think one of the things that stood out to me, too, was she had friends of all races. She had all children. Everybody was treated equally in Audrey's world.
Absolutely.
And it seems like you were very intentional about bringing that point home.
Yes. Thank you. Absolutely. At the time, you know, obviously racial tensions were complicated at that time, too. And it was really important to have a Black male resident looking up to Audrey as a next generation of hope. Like, she went through a lot to get to where she was in her career. He went through a whole other set of things to get to where he was in their career. And yet they could unite under a shared mission of helping these children and understanding that even though they couldn't relate to the obstacles each other faced, they could understand that it was a hard road to get there and they were going to make a difference. They were going to make it count.
And I have to say, at 80, she got married to her longtime friend, fellow doctor, Dr. Dan.
Yes.
And collaborator. They worked together on so many things. They were 80 years. She was 80. I think they got married at 7:30 a.m.
You got it.
Then got a croissant, some coffee, and was at work by 8:30.
That's right. I don't know if you ever saw them walking around the city at any point in time, but they were two peas in a pod. They were just unbelievable, those two. And Jimmy Simpson plays the perfect yin and yang to Natalie Dormer in the Audrey Evans, Dan Danjo relationship. Because Dan was this quiet, supportive, brilliant mind. And I think having that sort of support pushes you so much farther. And so it was no surprise that they got married in, you know, later in life. And then they had many years together before Dan passed away.
What's crazy is Dr. Evans retired at 84 and then co-founded a school.
I know. It's the best.
And it had another win. I was like, she was sharp in the mind and just getting everything done.
As soon as she stopped at CHOP, she missed the kids. And she's like, I got to do something else. I need to fill this void in my life. All right, I'm going to go start a school. I was going to start a school in my 80s. And she loved it. And she was at St. James all the time. It was like her pride and joy watching these kids thrive. And she was a kid at heart. So when she would go and visit the school, she'd immediately go sit at the kids' table. Mm-hmm. Like, she wasn't there to, like, mingle with the adults. That's just who she was. And then she did this movie, which, you know, she saw this as work. Like, she saw, like, what I was trying to do as, like, continuing her work. And so I like to think that in some small way I'm helping continue what she started.
That was Julia Fisher Fardman, who wrote and produced Audrey's Children, a film about the life of pioneering pediatric oncologist Dr. Audrey Evans. You can listen to Studio 2 live Tuesday through Thursday at noon on WHYY 90.9 FM and streaming on YouTube. Our show is produced by Debbie Builder, Paige Murray Bessler, and Andreas Copes. Al Banks engineered today's Studio 2 Extra. From WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Cherry Gregg. Thanks for listening.